This is Smashville Live. And Rene takes a long, elevated shot, bouncing, and he scores! Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Welcome to Smashville Live
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Streaming live on Facebook Live, Twitch, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com.
And welcome into Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. I am Robbie Stanley. We are streaming live on thegamenashville.com, also streaming live on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch as well. Also with Periscope today as well, the last day of Periscope, so make sure you keep that in mind as well. Robbie Stanley here, alongside the great and powerful Hal Gill. Skillsy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not much is going on. Just enjoying the Preds and excited to have our special guest tonight.
We are very excited to have a special guest tonight. And if you've been a Predators fan for a while, you remember this man very well. Darcy Hordichuk, former National Predator, our guest tonight on Smashville Live. Darcy, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Not too much. Just in Arizona right now. Can't complain. Weather's been great and living life, I guess.
Absolutely. What have you been up to as of late, Darcy? I know if you're like me, so I grew up and basically I was here in Nashville from the beginning of the Predators. And yep. Like my prime hockey viewing experience as a fan growing up was right when you came along. I used to love watching you play. So it's an honor to talk to you today. Just what's life been like for you lately, man?
You know, it's been great. Obviously, we just sold our house in Franklin a couple of years ago and just absolutely still love Franklin and Nashville and the people. And so definitely miss that. But yeah, me and my wife and my two boys have been busy being an assistant coach with the Arizona Coyotes and traveling all over the country. I didn't realize at 12U that you'd play 60 games in 7 different tournaments around the country. But you know, it's been fun to reunite with some of the other guys like Barrett Jackman and Trevor Daly and all these other guys that have kids your age, Bryce Salvador and just Ryan Smith and see these guys in tournaments. But besides that, doing some real estate and got a lot of vacation rentals and every day is a new day and just hustling out there.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to have you on the show here today. Darcy, I want to start just very simply thinking back on your time in Nashville. I think 05, 06 was your first season here with the Nashville Predators. As you look back on your time here in Music City, what stands out to you the most? What did you think about your time with the Predators?
You know what? I think it is the whole experience, right, with the team kind of being fresh and you know, just the energy in the building. And you know, you play in different places like maybe Toronto and Montreal where they kind of dictate what your power play is doing because you feel like the pressure, they're yelling, shoot, you know, do this, do that. In Nashville, it didn't matter what you did. You hit somebody, you fought. It was the same reaction all the time. And you kind of miss that. But I'll give you just a quick 1 minute story and the whole Nashville Predator experience. So how funny and ironic is this? So I'm playing in Dauphin, Manitoba. And before every game, there's this big picture of this guy's head on the front page of our, like, you know, that they handed out to the fans on this brochure. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And they're like, that's Barry Trotz. I'm like, who's Barry Trotz, right? So all of a sudden, I'm going to school in Dauphin. And one of our class assignments, because we all were excited that Nashville Predators were getting a team, was to figure out a name. Because Bruce Helgeson and Barry Trotz were buddies growing up in Dauphin. And he was my grade 11 teacher at the time, phys ed teacher, one of these guys that was like, let's come up with an idea. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward 8 years, Bruce is coming to my games. Barry's sharing stories about how he worked in Kamsack, where, you know, 1,500 people I grew up, 1,500 people in the middle of Saskatchewan. Nobody even knows, first of all, where Saskatchewan is, let alone Kamsack, where I grew up. And here I am, you know, in Nashville, you know, feeling like this is actually home. So It's crazy how life sorts itself out. And, you know, looking back, if I could have stayed longer in Nashville, I probably should have. I was a free agent and, you know, chose to go play in Canada because of Vancouver, they had the Olympics. But I just love going back to Nashville and visiting the people and the city and, you know, everybody's always like, what was your favorite place to play? And they're like, was it Vancouver? Was it Edmonton? And I'm like, you guys have no clue. Go to Nashville. You know, you got to go to Nashville. You know, obviously downtown wasn't as crazy as it is now, but it is just so fun to go to a game there and, you know, walk out of that arena and be in that action and hear the best country music you can ever hear, you know?
You talked about the contrast of playing in Canada. I mean, like, I, you know, I've been in the Canadian market and you walk out the door and everyone's all over you and they know who you are and what you're doing. And they want to make sure they're keeping tabs on how many drinks did you have there? I want to look at your bar bill. Yes. So you must have enjoyed being in Nashville. I loved it just because you can just be whoever you are. And then when you go out there, the fans will love you and cheer for you. You must have just loved that.
Oh, exactly. And here's the thing. At the end of the game, you got 8 different cameras asking you, so why didn't you fight that shift, Darz? And the other guy's saying, well, you should have did this. And the other guy's saying, you should. In Nashville, they're like, great job, good fight, go get him. You know, in Canada, you're like, I don't know, was that wrong? Because this reporter said, and then it starts to feed in the mind of the GM and the coach. And then they start reading the tabloids and then they start, and then your career is done. If you are in Canada, your career can't end fast enough because you have 20 different perspectives. And as soon as you start losing, they got to do something. And it's just a matter of fact, whether, you know, who else do you blame it on? You blame it on the fourth line guys. They're easy to trade out.
Always.
Yeah. Hal, right. I love the way Hal played. I'll tell you what. I still wish hockey was the same way. You knew that if you're going to try to run Hal, either you're going to get he's going to drop the gloves and throw that 8-foot, you know, reach at you, or you're going to get a cross check to the arms when you thought you were hitting him body on body, but he played the game.
Every time you were on the ice, I had my stick up. I knew what was coming. I wasn't dumb.
You and Mark Messier, I learned real fast. Chris Chelios, Mark Messier, Hal Gill. You don't even try to run them because you're going to have an ice bag on your forearm and arm.
That's the first time I've ever been put in their company. So
I was about to say, Hal, that's a heck of a group to be included in right there. Well done. Well done by you. Absolutely. Darcy?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to get your thought. You brought up Barry Trotz. I want to get your thoughts on what it was like and how you could kind of weigh on this as well. What was it like playing for Barry Trotz? And just the style that he brought to the table. And Darcy, thinking back to your playing days, like that was right when the Predators were starting to turn the corner. Paul Kariya was in, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. But the team was really, really good during your time with the Nashville Predators. What was it like playing for Trotsky?
You know what? Trotsky was just one of those coaches. He was a player's coach. Just such a great guy. Like we'd go lose. I think there's that streak of 6 or 7 games where I played for Mike Keenan, I played for, you know, Alain Vigneault, like some of these guys. And I'm like, you know, you get yelled at, you're this. Barry would say, boys, no ping pong table in the room. You're done. And we went, oh, okay, no problem. But then we'd turn it around and we win 10 in a row, you know, where other coaches, we'd have been like bag skated and like mother effed and do this and you're getting traded, you know? So, you know, Barry just kind of found that middle ground where he just didn't let the highs get too high, the lows get too low. And, you know, every player before the game was detailed. Okay, this guy is going to dump the puck and he's going to hit you. This guy, you know, he just had this routine that he's been doing. We're like, okay, we know Barry. We've played him 300 times. We know that Solani's going to go, you know, backdoor top cheese. We just can't stop that, you know. And this guy's really fast wide. We know that, you know, Paul Kariya has the one-timer. We're like, now how do we stop that, you know? But no, he was great and you know, good for his success and to have the career that he did and still is having is just absolutely amazing.
Hardy, I get asked this all the time, and I don't know what it was. We'd go out to practice with Trotsky, and practice would be nice and easy, and I got traded here, and I'm looking around going, guys, how are we going to play? Like the practice is pretty easy here. Like, you know, and every man, every guy in that locker room turned to me and said, well, we're just going to come to play tomorrow night. You know, like he'll let us go and have some good times as long as we compete like hell tomorrow night. Did you find the same thing?
Exactly. And I think what Trotsky was smart about is he had the locker room, and a lot of coaches don't do this, but all of a sudden, you know, we're complaining because we're staying in Glendale and we're like, this hotel sucks. What's Trotsky doing? Like, why are we staying here? We get to go to Scottsdale. We should be right where the action is. But Trotsky had a leadership group. So Paul Kariya was in the leadership group and, you know, Legwand and Sullivan. So in the locker room before, you know, it became a firestorm, those guys would put out the fire and say, well, we made the decision. We're all part of this. And you're like, oh, you can't get mad at him. You know, you're trying to like get some dirt on him because maybe he scratched you or because he didn't play. But here are the leaders in the locker room, you know, that are playing 22 minutes a night and scoring every day. They're like, we're staying here because of this. And you're like, oh, I'm like, brilliant, you know. Or we do these team building things. And he's like, okay, Darce, what do you think we should do this year? Like, what's the word? And I'm like, hard work. And he's like, okay, let's write this down, hard work. And then the next guy's like, you know, never give up in the third period. Yeah, write that down. And then all of a sudden he would use that the whole year. And he's like, Darce, how was your last game? Was that hard work to you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, remember this word that we have paper to fill out the locker room? You know what I mean? So it's just this fun, chachi stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about results. And he would surround himself. Pete Horachuk, one of my favorite all-time coaches. I wish he was still around. Pete was my, like, just a mentor. You know,
great guy.
Brett Peterson, just a solid dude. Like, you put those guys together and Poyle, they were just – some of the greatest human beings, you know, you could ever find. And I think that's at the end of the day, what life's about is being around good people. And, you know, Stanley Cups come and go, wins and losses come and go, but the impact that those guys had on all of our careers, those are memories nobody can take away.
Darce Horachuk on with us here on Smashville Live. And Darce, it's interesting because I think back to 05 and 06 and then the 06, 07 teams, especially. I mean, there was just a perfect blend of skill guys out there. I mean, you've got Sullivan flying around. You've got Kariya flying around. You eventually have Peter Forsberg join the group, which we'll get to more of that here coming up in the next segment as well. But you guys also had a toughness about you. Like, Shea Weber was really young on that last team. Ryan Suter was really young as well. Like, there was a perfect blend, I think, of veteran players and of youngsters coming up with all different sorts of skill sets. And then, of course, you had – you and Jordan Tutu flying around out there as well. What was that like playing with a guy like Tutu that played on the edge, much like yourself, and just the physicality that you two brought to the table?
Well, here's the funny thing. I still skate with the alumni, and Mike Sillinger was just he was in town and he was just sharing stories. He goes, "You guys have no clue when Darce Horachuk and Tutu played on the same team, and I was in Nashville." He's like, like, these guys, they didn't even know the puck was, like, out there. Like, Tutu would hit a guy, and I would hit Tutu because he was coming from one end of the ice, and I was coming from the other. Like, I think the one game, we put out three guys, two collarbones, and then it was, like, an elbow injury in one game. And it was crazy because you would hear that whistle. And for me, you know, I know Toots would get his 10, 12 minutes a game. I had to go every shift. Otherwise, I wasn't playing. You know, it was one of those things like, and then we had Scotty Nickel in the middle, who was an absolute shit disturber behind the play. I'm like, why am I fighting? And the guy's like, Scotty just speared the guy behind the play, you know, and I'm like putting out his fire. Then I got Toots over here. I'm like, holy crap. So, you know, it was just such a fun year. I don't think if Toots is my roommate, I think he shaved about 10 years off my life because for those 3 years, I didn't go to bed earlier than 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm like, Toots, I have to play, dude. It's fun that you get to have, you know, 10 beers and do whatever you want to do all night. I can't play like that. And here I am trying to be like, you know, good and not doing this and drinking and not, you know, I feel like I'm pulling a piano around the ice the whole practice. There's Toots, a goal and assist, a fight. You know, I'm like, you're an idiot, dude. You're going to kill my career. I need a new roommate, you know. But, I mean, what a story for him to, you know, turn that corner and the impact he's having on the Inuit kids. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just a feel-good story and good for him for getting his life together. And, you know, for a while there, everybody's like, he's not the same Tutu. He's not, you know, playing guilty and he's not on an edge. And, you know, all my buddies still talk about it. They're like, Darce, do you remember that night you went to bed at like 2 a.m? We were with Toots to 5 a.m. We got shots all night. I don't even know how I made it home. And Toots is like still going. And we're like, no, we got to go home. You know, and Toots had the key to the city. So you think the bars were done at 11, but you'd all of a sudden end up somewhere and you're like, oh my God.
We're off and running here on Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Hal Gill and former Predator Darcy Hordachuk. We'll be right back to discuss more with Darcy Hordachuk, including some big acquisitions made by the Predators during his time and a trade that you're going to want to hear this story as well. All that coming up. This is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is Smashville Live.
Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Robbie Stanley here alongside Hal Gill and former Nashville Predator Darcy Hordachuk, streaming live on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Twitch as well. And Darcy, I want to get your thoughts because I remember growing up here in Nashville, and obviously the lockout year happened and everybody was bummed out about that. But then the news comes the following year when the league is coming back into action, Paul Kariya coming to the Nashville Predators, which also happened to be your first year with the Predators as well. What do you remember about Paul Kariya and his time with the Predators? What was it like to play with that guy? Because I've also heard, and I've talked to him a little bit about this too, a pretty superstitious guy, that Paul Kariya, when it came to his pregame routines and things of the like.
You're exactly right about that. There is no one in the league. I don't know if you call it superstitious or if you call it OCD. Like Paul, his sticks, like one, my stick would be an inch bigger over here. And like this one would be, and whoever would score a goal that game, I'd use that guy's stick. Paul, like I'd be going like, why are you counting each wrap around your knob on your stick? He had it so dialed in. He would take sandpaper and had all three of them. I couldn't even tell which stick was, and he'd be going like this with sandpaper on all three of them, making sure they were like so perfect. And I mean, obviously when you're that good, you know, you have to kind of have some of those quirks. But it was so fun. At Amerigo's in Franklin, it was me, Suter, Paul Kariya, Greg DeVries. We called it the dinner club or the lunch club. And Scotty Walker would be there sometimes and Sullivan would pop up because we were all kind of in that area.
Right.
And we would just, you know, share all these stories. And every day I'd be like, Paul, okay, how did you score that? He goes, well, what do you mean? How did I score that? He goes, when you're coming down the right side, you're a lefty. The five hole's going to be open. The top shelf's going to be open or over his left pad's going to be open. Like he just knew the game so well and wouldn't show any tells. And, you know, I mean, we still joke to this day, his girlfriend at the time was not allowed to ride in the car with him on game days. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever heard these stories.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
One time, you know, she needed a ride and he made her like duck in the back seat. And like he couldn't on game days, she would tell a story. She's like, I get in a fight with Paul. All I got to do is go up the stairs because on game days, Paul will not walk up a set of stairs.
Right.
And Halsey, you probably remember, or Hal, you know this, that you remember in the Sutton Place in St. Paul, like we would always eat downstairs. He wouldn't do the stairs. Like it was like one set of stairs coming down to go and have our meal. He would take the elevator. And I'm like, oh my God, like he had such a routine. And I mean, I would have quit hockey. If I had to do a quarter of what he did, I would have just said, hey, you know what, mom and dad, this is not fun. And, you know, I'll be a
exhausting
police officer.
Totally exhausting. The finger stretches, right? I've heard about the finger stretches.
Oh, yeah.
Finger stretches. And on the clock, it's to a T. It's like, I remember he stands up, stretches, puts his jock on, and he's looking at the clock. Like, it's like and all the new guys that would get traded, I'd be like bumping in the locker room. I'm like, watch this. Watch this. And they're like, watch what? I'm like, he's going to stand. I would give it like word for word. He's going to stand up. He's going to stretch the front of his jock. Then he's going to like kind of go down on his knees with both hands. And the guys would like die laughing. And they're like, so if he wasn't as good as he was, I would have ripped on him. I would have like, you know, whenever I played, I didn't care who you were. Like Luongo would be like at the poker table in Florida. The guys like knew that I'd rip on anybody. I didn't care. I was a tough guy. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And Louis would be like, okay, it's $100 per guy and all this. And I go, Louis, how much money did you just put in? He's like $100. I go, why do you make all the rules, dude? I go, If anything, the only thing you should be doing is, because you're the captain of this team and you're making $60 million more than the rest of us, you should just be buying the team dinners. That's your job right now as a captain. You pay for the team dinners, keep us gelled as a group, and he'd like lose his shit, you know?
Well, you had a different cast of characters, because was that the same year Radulov came in?
Oh, dude. Radulov? Oh, my God. So Radulov and me, nobody could hang. Me and, like, I have a lot of energy. I'm like ADHD. As soon as we land, everybody's like taking a game day nap. I'm over there like on game days cutting the grass in my backyard. Like, I knew I had one thing to do. I had to hit whoever was on the ice and fight whoever was the toughest guy, you know? And Radulov comes in and he's like, Disneyland. When we go to California, he's like, Disneyland. I'm like, what do you mean Disneyland? And he wanted to go to Disneyland. We play the next day. So here I am. I'm taking this guy that's from Russia, that's obviously played, you know, juniors, and helping him get his driver's license. I wrote his driver's license test for him to get his driver's license because he had no clue any of these words. Like, it was just an absolute gong show, you know, but he was so, you know, so much energy. And if you guys watch that highlight, when Arnett scores that playoff goal, yeah, he goes in, like, jumps up because he's so excited, turnbuckles Arnett's head, he gets concussed. And I think that's where our playoffs kind of turned.
That's right.
Lost Arnie, you know, when it was our year to win it, because Radulov couldn't hold back from seeing him score that goal, you know?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a crazy play. And then the year before that, of course, the big trade that really took the NHL by storm, and Peter Forsberg on his way to the Nashville, yes, Predators, coming in from the Philadelphia Flyers. What do you remember about, like, the first time that you saw Peter Forsberg walk through the door and just, like, the aura that he brought to that group? I mean, you already had Paul Kariya. You already had a really good team, obviously, but adding a Hall of Famer like Peter Forsberg to that group.
So, Peter, to me, like, the way he played the game and the way how skilled he was, like, I had so much respect for him. So I kind of had a little background story with him. I go to Sweden to work on my skills, right? I'm 20 years old. My agent's like, you are going to Sweden, to Örnsköldsvik, where Peter's from, to work with his skating coach in, like, Sweden, right? So I'm kind of heading to Sweden. Well, we find out that Peter's doing this golf tournament because he just opened up his new course or whatever. So I'm supposed to go there and work with, like, Zettenberg's guy, Datsuk's, you know, Thomas Storm was his name, and work on all these things. Well, I did that for like 1 or 2 days. And then Peter ends up bringing me out to his golf course event, where I later ended up meeting all the founders of Crocs. I don't know if you guys remember the shoes Crocs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, George Bodecker and Tommy Durant were the founders, brought Peter in. So here I am trying to work on my skill. Next thing you know, I'm golfing on Peter's course. He brought me to come play with the Icebreakers, which was the traveling Olympic team with, like, Sandstrom and Forsberg, Naslin, like, all the guys. Tuominen, whatever, all these guys. So I start the game. I don't even know what they're saying. I'm on a line with Forsberg and Naslin. My first shift, I blow up this kid, my biggest hit of my career, because the guy has his head down, and they're like, Tars, no, you're not the same game, you know?
Hey, that's a skill. You're working on your skill.
Hey, it is. So then when Peter gets traded to us, I end up saying, listen, Yannick Perreault lives across the street from me in Franklin. Peter, you're going to live in this house. So Peter ended up living across the street from me in Nashville, and we just had so much fun, just like at night hanging out. And every time you knew, there was an empty bottle of wine at my house that said Camus, like, 1994, and it was over $500, you knew Peter was at my house.
Now, I do have to ask you, because I've been told by my good buddy Darren McFarland, who you used to do a radio show with here in Nashville, yes, by the way, as, yeah, well, that Peter approached you with the opportunity to invest in Crocs. Is that true? Judging by your reaction, I'm going to say it is true.
Oh, I would have made more money in the Crocs at the time than playing hockey 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
So these things, remember the shoes were so ugly? I came home with a hockey bag full of the orange Crocs and all these different shoes. They just sent me home with all this. And then 5 years later, to rub it in, for my wedding, they sent a garage full of Crocs for everybody that came to my wedding. So everybody was laughing. They're like, this is the coolest thing. I go, you know what? It is the coolest thing, but it could have been really, you know, a lot more cooler had I invested in Crocs. But
that wedding could have been a lot cooler.
Exactly.
That's right.
And you know what? Talk about missed opportunities. I don't know if you guys remember Lululemon.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm in Vancouver in 08, 09, and this guy's bringing us to his factory all the time. And we're like wearing these boxers. Nobody even knows what it is. And that was Chip Wilson, who was really good friends and bought Naslin, Marcus Naslin's house. And, you know, there was opportunities there too. We all just kind of, the opportunities that I got in, like, usually lose money. So that's where, if you're investing, just do the opportunity.
That's right. We are off and running here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Hal Gill and former Nashville Predator Darcy Hordachuk. We'll be right back to continue the conversation here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Robbie Stanley here alongside Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, and pleased to be joined today here on the show by former Nashville Predator Darcy Hordachuk, and we are streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch, also on the radio as well. So lots of different places that you can watch this show and view this show, and having a lot of fun right now with Darcy Hordachuk. Darcy, I'm interested to get your opinion now, because obviously the game has changed a little bit since Hal played, since you played. And I think back to really, I guess back to 2014-15, back when Pittsburgh started to make their runs towards winning Stanley Cups. The game has become so much more about skill and speed. There's not as much physicality, which a lot of fans like, but a lot of fans that have watched hockey for a long time also miss, I think, the physical aspect of the game and how it's not the same as it used to be. As you kind of evaluate the state of the NHL right now when you're watching, what do you think of it? What do you think of the state of the game right now in today's NHL?
You know, I think the state of the game is great. I think that markets, you know, like Arizona, certain markets that maybe are struggling, like Florida, to draw in some fans, I think that's, you know, ironically, I was got to know the new ownership group here in Phoenix. And I was sitting in the suite with them the other day, watching him play Minnesota, and it's 5-1, and it's me, Doan, the new owner, and the CEO, and his son. And he's just like losing it in, you know, 'cause he's like, why isn't anybody doing anything? Why isn't anybody hitting him? You know, we're down 5-1, you know? And yeah, it was so fun to see this new ownership. And he's like, I got to talk to Talks after the game. Like, I want some grit. I want some sandpaper. Like, it was dead. Every goal, it was like quiet in the building, obviously because of COVID, but it just, that whole atmosphere was just nothing to cheer about, you know? So, you know, it's still nice to see the Ferlands around and the Luchiches, you know, because that's, people still want to see it and they want to, you know, but I think with all the different liabilities and the pressure on the league, and every time I got suspended, I remember with that Avery, we were just talking about with Korea, they waited to see how much publicity it got on TV. And when it hit Good Morning America, it went from me probably getting maybe one game to all of a sudden I was up against like five games, because it was like, oh my God, look how crazy this sport is. And then they're like, oh, we got to suspend this guy. You know, we got to send the message. We don't believe in this. Meanwhile, they probably sold, you know, 1,000 Hordachuk jerseys after that. And, you know, all of a sudden I got 10 more fans after that game. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, unfortunately, certain guys that I've been hanging out with, this Kent Johnson, he's supposed to go in the top 10 in the NHL. And we're just talking about, like, it's so nice to know you have that enforcer, but you don't have that nowadays where you can go to the guy. Like Taylor Hall used to come up all the time and be like, Darce, this guy's slashing me. And then he's like, oh, this guy hit me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll watch it. Don't worry. I'll let him know. And then it wouldn't happen the rest of the game. Right. So fans didn't really understand, like, whoever was against it. I always say it's like having a gun next to your bed. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like having a gun next to your bed. I'm like, you don't have to use it, but just knowing it's there, if something ever bad did happen, it gives you that confidence. And I was like that gun on the ice. I was the guy that, you know, fought the same guys all the time, not because I wanted to, but because earlier in that shift, you know, Sullivan got his head taken off or whatever. And You know, Hal was, you know, just seeing a guy like Hal on the ice with that much size, you would tone it down that game because you didn't want to answer the bell. And it was, you're one punch away from getting your career ended by a guy like Hal, you know, if you ran around and you did that. So you'd tone it down for teams like that, or like Stu Grimson when you played Nashville, or, you know, at least I did. And, you know, yeah. But.
Well, you know. I remember now, I'll ask you your thoughts on whether the players can police themselves, because I feel like some of these guys will pick someone clean and run someone and they get fined or they get suspended for a few games. I feel like that's a big difference between getting that and punched in the face. You know, like if I went after Paul Kariya and gave him a whack on the hand or slashed him or jacked him up from behind, I knew I'd get down like the waiting for you to come over the top or Toots to run me, you know, like yeah. You knew something was going to happen. So, yeah. If I was going to do it, it was a ballsy move on my part and I'd have to face it. Now, you know, go ahead, find me a little bit of money. I'm still going to make some money. What are your thoughts on that now moving away from that, where the refs and the league really have to protect the players?
Oh, I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, listen, you're asking the wrong guy. You know what I mean? I am like totally against this movement. Like, throw that guy in the fourth line that, you know, still can play. We need more guys like Wilson in the league, guys that hold people accountable, guys that, you know, but for some reason there's so much pushback because the big sponsors who pay all the bills and, you know, hold all the power are like, oh no, we don't want to see that. That's bad. Well, guess what? You know, when you're on a road trip and you're in a bar and your buddy doesn't come to your rescue and you're getting, you know, beat on all the time, you're going to all of a sudden say, well, you got to educate these people that are making the decisions that have all the power. But you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And thank God we hit it when we did it, Hal, because there were some great years that, you know, every day they're like, why did you fight Peros? And I was like, because there's five guys left in the league to fight. And I got to at least show some justification, you know, why we're fighting. You know, it was like, he's like, yes, we got to go. And I'm like, yeah, we got to go.
Well, now that it's all said and done, you had a great career. Do you think the mental toll, the anxiety of going through that? I found it was tough. Like if I knew I was going to go out there and I had to fight, you know, those games. So you're like, oh boy, I'm going to have to face the music and it's going to happen early. And, you know, I personally had the late night sweats and I'm sitting in bed going, oh God, this guy is, I'm playing Joey Koser tomorrow night. And I know he's going to come out and elbow me in my ear and jump at me. And I'm going to have to face the music. That got to me. That I won't lie to you. That got to me. You, I feel like you kind of liked it. I played with Big Earn, Brian McGrattan. He loved it. He was. Hey,
there's one guy that I think likes it, and that's him. There's one guy that can truly say that he wasn't scared and he didn't care. But hey, we all went through. It was like, so here was my move. Everybody's like, Darce, were you like on drugs when you played? Like, why were you so crazy? I had to come out during warmups and I would call guys out. I'm like,
I was there. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, we're going first shift. And they're like, why? I'm like, I know what you did last game. Because I wanted to see if I could play the rest of the game and I can let it go. And most of the guys would be like, Horty, I got a bad hand. Horty, no. I did it to Bielak. You'll love this one. I go, Bieler, who do you want? Me or Rippin, first shift. And he goes, either one. I'm like, oh, we'll tell you when we're going to go. Don't tell me what, you know. So it was this whole mental game. And it was the anxiety, you know. What's hard is trying to make $100,000 a year now when I got to sit on the bench and have to, you know, a couple nights sleep. And that's, you know,
right.
the real world's hard. But you know what? It's been the best thing ever. It's just kind of being done with the game and, you know, having that experience. But yet now, like, every day the weekends mean something. You hunt what you eat. And I always tell parents, be careful what you wish for, you know, like, it's everybody's like, oh my God, I want little Johnny to play in the NHL. This is the most incredible thing. And I said, it is, But just imagine at some point your carpet's going to get ripped out from underneath you, and all those great restaurants you ate at and all those private jets turn into Southwest and turn into this. And some people have a tough time coming back to reality. For me, I wasn't supposed to play one game in the NHL. Every year, if you ask guys that played with me, I was like, what kind of business could I start? What kind of, and then it would go to 2 years, and like Tanner Glass is my roommate. And I'm like, Tanner, we got to think of something. Like, I don't know if we're going to play that year. And then it was like 3 years and then 4 years. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's all perspective. Life is perspective, and the journey is perspective. And no matter what you have in life, we always think the grass is green on the other side. And that's not always the case.
Very Robbie, well, just so you, Robbie, he's just so you know, he's not telling one bit of a lie. He would be in warm up. He'd be yelling, and Giller, I'm coming for you. I'm gonna jump you. You don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And I won't lie to you. I was going like, hey, I'm gonna take it easy. I tell the skill guys, I got you tonight. I'm matching up your against your line. Let's play a good hard game here. Let's keep it clean, okay, guys? Let's keep it clean. Right.
Absolutely. I don't doubt that for a second.
And here's the reality. How stupid of me to ever say that to Hal. I am one punch away from me from getting knocked out in front of 17,000 fans and my career done. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Chuck Liddell, who was invincible, he's been knocked out more than he's knocked out people. Like, sure. At some point it's coming. You just, you know, I had a big faith moment in life where I'm like, okay, God, hey, if this is the deal, what am I supposed to do? I'm not even supposed to be here. When they called me up, I've never even watched an NHL game live before. I paid a ticket to watch Tampa Bay play Toronto when I was in Orlando, my first NHL game ever, to see, remember Fredrickson, the big guy Fredrickson?
Oh, yeah.
I went to that game just to see it, and I was like, oh, my God. I get called up 5 months later, and they're like, hey, Darce, just so you know, you're going to be the tough guy. I'm like, I'm 20 years old. I'm used to fighting kids 16, 18 years old. I can't do this. What do you mean? Like, I'm supposed to be the tough guy. And I remember Odgers, and he's like, Darce, first shift of the game, just get your feet wet. Like, you know, just go out there and just make a play. And I'm like watching fight videos of every guy. And it was Montreal, the first game, right? I'm 20 years old. I hop on the ice. Petrov comes around the net. It was the biggest hit of my career. It was on every Gatorade commercial. And there was like, it was the craziest thing that happened, right? So then I back up in a corner. I start shaking my gloves and nobody wanted to fight. Montreal really didn't have anybody except for Quintel. So I was like, whew. And then all of a sudden we get ready to play. I bought myself a game because in the stands, it was like Horty, Check. And all of a sudden I was like, people are like, who is this guy? You know, I'm supposed to be down, sent down. And I'm like, I made more in this game than I did in the whole minors, you know? I'm like, I can do this. I'm like, who do I got to fight next? Try to fight it the next game on Ty Domi. We're playing like Toronto a few games in. Right off the draw, I go and spear Ty. We're going. Like, I let everybody in the building know. All my buddies went to Costco, bought the TV to take back the next day because they think I'm going to fight Ty Domi. He wouldn't fight either because he's like, why am I going to fight this young rookie coming up? He has no reputation. I've got everything to lose. So it became this holy crap. So then I was like, what the heck's going on? And finally, Chara stepped up. I fought Chara and Steve Webb. And then all of a sudden, guys were like, okay, now it's on. I got to get to Proby.
Right.
You know, it just became this, you know, and I don't know. I talk too much. But so here's a funny story about Proby. So I'm like, I never, ever did this. And I hated guys that did this. But I was like watching Proby skate up and down the ice. And I'm like, okay, I'm scared to death of this guy because every fight video he's beat the crap out of everybody. But right. I'm like, hey, he's kind of at the end of his career. I'm going to set the stage, you know, like I can fight this guy. So I kind of chase him down. He's probably a little bit tired and I give him the old like whack on the knees, like a little bit disrespectful. And I go, let's go. And he's like, hey, I'm kind of tired. I'm like, perfect, done. I start away. I'm like, I did my job looking. He doesn't want to fight. And he's like, kid, let's go. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, Bobby Proby. So I start, you can see in the video, I ragdolled him so bad, pushing and pulling, but I was scared to really throw a punch at him. Because I'm like, this is like surreal. This is like, oh my God.
This is a legend.
But I'm like, not really. And then all of a sudden the penalty box, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to call my buddies. I won this fight. Hockeyfights.com is going to say, I killed him. I'm in the penalty box. And all of a sudden I hear, you're dead. I'm like, no, that was good. We're good, right? We're good. And I'm acting like I don't even see him. And all of a sudden, like, I get on the ice and he, like, literally tries to pin me up against the glass and just starts stroking on me. And I think I almost died, but
that's awesome. But,
You're not alone. I heard the same story. Kenny Belanger, you remember Kenny?
Oh, Kenny, yeah,
I like him. He went after Proby, beat him up, and I said, "Man, that was awesome." In between periods, and he's shaking, and I was like, "Why are you shaking?" He goes, "Because I have to do that again." No one beats Proby twice. And you have to respect him, right? That's what a lot of people don't understand. There's a respect factor. You owe it to him, to go again, right?
100%. Yeah. No, I mean, even how I made the Atlanta Thrashers, I was in the bathroom. If you ever heard this story, I was literally in the bathroom and I timed it when Denny Lambera, I don't know if you remember that name, Denny Lambera went in the restroom and it's the rookie squad. Remember how we used to do the rookie squads and we were all there for the meal money because we made $500 for the week or whatever. So I go and I time it when he's taking a leak and I go, Mr. Lambert, do you mind if we fight? And he looks at me and he's kind of like, is this guy for real? I'm going to the bathroom. But I didn't want to be the guy coming to camp. I'm, you know, he's trying to provide for his family. I'm a young guy coming up and I didn't even make it on the ice. And the coach is like, Darcy, you're starting. And he was on the ice waiting for me at the draw. And because of that opportunity, I ended up making the team basically 6 months later. And because Denny wanted to, give me a chance, like some guy gave him a chance. So you respect that, and that's why, everybody thinks we're so gruesome and violent. And the only time you see, most tough guys try to take advantage of a guy at the bottom of the pile is because he did it to you the game before.
Right.
Otherwise, it's like, it's done after the game. Hey, I respect you. I respect you. Are we going to hang out? Maybe, but probably not.
We're off and running here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, make sure you're tuning in on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook, or at thegamenashville.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Be looking for the keyword. You've got to be watching to see the keyword. So make sure you're checking us out on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, or at thegamenashville.com. We'll be right back. One last segment with Darcy Kordachuk here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits of Wine in Bellevue. Robbie Stanley alongside Hal Gill and former Nashville Predator Darcy Kordachuk. This has been an incredible show. Lots of fun going down memory lane with Darcy Kordachuk. Darcy, we've got just a few minutes left. I want to leave you by asking you this. As you think back on your career, your time in Nashville, just the entire picture, what stands out to you the most? What are you most proud of about your career?
I think just maybe the interaction with the fans and having a radio show there and just kind of helping grow the game. At that time, we were kind of that early. Finally, I think we were one of the more successful teams that kind of came through that era and, help kind of get fans addicted to the game. I think it's just, trying to get back to the community and help out, the children's hospitals, and what a great job, the whole organization did to, get us involved in the community and try to grow the game,
Yeah, it was awesome. And I think y'all deserve a lot of credit for that. Darcy, we really appreciated you taking time to join us here today on the show. It's been so much fun going down memory lane. And I know from your vantage point, like, that was kind of the first part of the Predators fan base. They went from an expansion phase to a playoff phase, and now what we see today with a run a couple years ago to the Stanley Cup final, and just fans after fans pouring out on the city streets. You were a fan favorite. You were a part of that here as well. So it's been an honor to have you here on the show. We really appreciate you taking time to join us here today.
Anytime. And it's ironic how all of a sudden, Lee Bryce has become a good friend, Chase Rice. We do this golf tournament in Arizona called the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's the biggest golf tournament in the world. And everybody keeps asking, after the golf tournament, we have what's called the Bird's Nest. And it's some of the biggest acts, Jake Owens, all these country singers. And they're like, how do you get all these people? And I'm like, dude, I played in Nashville. My roommate was Dayton Kelly Pickler. Like, anybody we need access to, I've got to know the writers and this.
Right.
And, you have that whole relationship, and to live in Nashville and have that in your back door is pretty special. So yeah, thanks again, you guys.
Absolutely, Skillsy.
It's a shame we only have an hour with you, bud.
I know, man. We literally could have done. We could have done a 5-hour show with Darcy Kordachuk. So enjoy this edition of Smashville Live. If you missed it, you can check it out on thegamenashville.com. It'll be up and running for you right there. Smashville Live, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For Darcy Hordachuk, for Hal Gill, this is Robbie Stanley. Hope everybody has a great rest of the night. The Predators back in action tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. They'll be taking on the Dallas Stars, looking to extend their winning streak to 7 games. Back in a playoff spot in the Central Division, playing the best hockey they've played all season long. So that coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. For Hal Gill and Darcy Hordachuk, this is Robbie Stanley. Slapshot Radio coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.